Continue. Well, Donald's asked that we read from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, the first 15 verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with all long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, with the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him, unto all things, which is the head, even Christ. With this challenging scripture on our hearts, let's kneel as we pray.
We bring you greetings tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I take this opportunity to thank this congregation for your prayers as you prayed for me some months ago. And because of your prayers and because of the grace of God, I stand before you whole. And we're very thankful for God's blessing on us. I've chosen tonight to speak on the subject of committed to the truth. And I was sitting here in the front bench and I was thinking, people are going to wonder why I would speak on committed to the truth when we're speaking to a congregation of people that know the truth and are interested in keeping the truth. I want us to remind us tonight that no matter how well we think we are established in the truth, there's things come along in our life that hinders our thoughts about the truth. We are bombarded on every hand, day after day, with things that are not truth. And so tonight I am concerned that we are walking in the truth tonight. The scripture was read in our hearing. Apostle Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Each of us believers here tonight have been called into salvation. And its scripture says we're to walk worthy of that salvation that we've been called into. And how do we walk worthy of that? We walk worthy of that as we seek out truth. I don't know whether we are all aware of the fact that we've been told that the earth is flat. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but there's still people that believe that the earth is flat. I was amazed when I was talking to a young man in the garage a year or so ago, and he was on a chat list with some different people that believed that the earth was flat. This was a young Mennonite boy, and he was trying to convince them that the earth was round. And so tonight, there are people who believe that the earth is flat. And I hope that you don't believe that. The earth is round because the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 22, that the Lord setteth on the circle of the earth. Now, you can't have a circle when it's flat. At least in my geometric learning, that's the way it was. And so, no matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter whether some great person says that the earth is flat, or it doesn't matter whether some astrologer says it's flat. It doesn't really matter when the Bible says the earth is round. Many people today, they're all around us, believe that all religions are right and will lead sincere peace people to heaven. Doesn't really matter what you believe. As long as you're sincere, you'll get there. Well, I'll tell you tonight, my Bible does not say that sincerity will get you anywhere unless it's sincerity in the right thing. You can be sincerely wrong. The worshipers of Baal, as we know the story, the worshipers of Baal, they were sincere. They were really sincere. They even cut themselves. And guess what? Their God didn't bring any fire. Even though they were sincere, they were sincerely wrong. The world today, all around us, is desperate to know the truth, desperate to find some absolutes. Society continues to gradually accept practices which would have shocked people a few generations ago. I was thinking when I was called to come here, I was thinking about Alexander Mack over there in Schwarzenau, Germany. Why Alexander Mack would have not lined up with any other group, any other faith over there, instead of starting a new group. And I come to one conclusion, that he decided that they were going to take the word of God as truth and live by it. Trouble is today, situation ethics have taken a firm grip on people's minds. Human reasoning abounds. Everybody said, God's a loving God. God would never send anybody to hell. But the truth is that the love of God that we just sang about lasts as long as we are obedient to his word. Because God says there's coming a day of judgment. And if we are not walking in the love of God, judgment will fall and many people will be disappointed. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, it states it well. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. The result is, evil abounds, crime increases, homes fall apart, and people are perplexed. They don't know who's or what to believe. Is that the way Is that the way it is in our world today? That's the way I find it. People are looking for something to hold on to that's truth. And the news media, if you listen to that, I was caught up and listened to the news media, listened to these guys that get on there and tell you all about what's happening and how they think things ought to happen. And I'll tell you, when you listen to it so long, it begins to change your thinking. You begin to become part of them. And I must say tonight, to my shame, I turned it off and will no longer listen to that kind of stuff, because there's not too much truth in it. There's just a bunch of information that they gather up and give us. What happens is, because people are looking for truth, false cults abound. People search for something that's real and provides answers to their questions. This world is in desperate need of a message of truth. When I speak about truth and how we react to truth, the problem, the situation that we're in is that so many believers in Jesus Christ who believe in the truth are not living it out in their life, and so the world looks on and they don't know whether it's truth or false, because sometimes we live a double standard wherever we go, people we associate with. How does the world view us as we live out the truth in our life? The Bible teaches us, gives us instructions how to live and act, a standard by which to measure our ideas and actions. Pilate asked the question one day, centuries ago, what is truth? John 18:38. Where can people look for answers? Where can we look to find out how to build good, strong homes and relationships? Where can we find out what God really thinks about us? If we are willing to lay aside our ideas and honestly consider what God's word says, we'll find truth. In John 17:17, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, "Thy word is truth." Peter assures us that his word is not from cunning devised fables. In 2 Peter 1:16-21. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came with such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day shall rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any proper interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have the truth right here. It's all here. All the truth that God wants us to have is right here. And we don't have to look anyplace else for truth. There are a lot of men who write commentaries about the truth. Sometimes we got to be careful what we read there. God is truth. He cannot lie. He is the rock. His work is perfect. for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Titus 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Tonight, do we really believe? Do we really believe God? I'm challenged from time to time when we read God and read God's word and when we carry it out in our life, do we really believe what he says? I have a question in my mind by times when we go about in our practices, in our worship service, and in our carrying out, and especially in the Love Feast service, which we're about to partake of tomorrow. Do we really believe in what we're doing? Is it something that we believe in, or is it some practice that we just do because this has been tradition for 300 years? You know, we've got to be so, and you see, when it becomes just a tradition, then other things can come in place and take control. We see it all around us. Churches all around us who change. Even the Church of the Brethren, which we were a part of, changed. Love Feast communion service without feet washing. Communion service on Sunday morning. And things like that. And this is why I'm saying, this is why I bring a message on truth tonight, is because of the fact that some of these things creep in and we just wonder how we got here. I'm reminded of a man that I worked with for several years, probably more than I can remember. He was an unbeliever. Then he became a believer, and he joined a church and got all excited. But his wife didn't get excited like he did, and so some course of time they got divorced. And time went on, and one day he said to me, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got to this point. Well, there had to be a beginning to get there. But you see, it went so subtly that he didn't realize how little by little going downhill. And this is the way in the Church of Jesus Christ today, in the nominal church, I should say, not the Church of Jesus Christ. In the nominal church today, things get changed. Little by little, we leave off a little here, a little there, and the next thing you know, well, this isn't where we wanted to be. The Bible is the word which tells us what we need to know. Are we committed to knowing the truth, or are we satisfied with what man's telling us? If we are not open to his will and try to change his word to suit our own ideas, we are merely deceiving ourselves. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things which are sometimes hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Why do you think Paul, Peter, John gives all the admonition about being deceived? Because we are prone to be deceived. I tell you tonight, I'm here to stand before you that if I didn't know some things that I know, I could be deceived. Somebody would tell me something else, I could be deceived. We need to learn. When God says something, it's that way. He said, let there be light, and it was light. It's useless to challenge God. If he says this is how we should live, who is able to change it? After all, we'll be judged by the truth. Jesus said, when he walked here upon this earth, when I come again, I'll not judge you. The words that I speak unto you, they will judge you. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, 5, chapter 2, verse 2, 5, 6, and 8, a couple verses. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart changest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. We can choose tonight, every day. We can choose to disregard the truth and do our own thing, but it's inescapable. The day of judgment, we will face that word someday. Truth is impartial. It treats everybody alike. What's true for doctors is good for paupers. We cannot measure truth by how many people believe it. Even if no one believed it, it would still be truth. We may deny it, reject it, or compromise it, but it not change the facts. Truth is unchangeable. It is eternal. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth all generation. Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower falleth, but the word of God, our God, standeth forever. The truth is indivisible. Something is true or it is not true. You see, there's no half-truth. Now we have fake news. I guess you've heard of that. I don't know what that all is, but I've heard them talk about fake news. And I don't know what, but it sounds to me like adding a little bit of truth or adding a little bit of error with truth. It's either true or it's not true. No half-truths with God. We are either right or wrong. In Jesus' life and teaching is portrayed the beauty of truth. He says, the Bible says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Over 75 times he said, verily I say unto you. He testifies in John 18, 37, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is a truth heareth my voice. The songs we sang this evening are songs of truth. The love of God, how great it is, and how great it is. It is for me, and it is for you. But unless we live out the truth in our life, the love of God, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We are having Love Feast this weekend to remember the death and burial of Jesus Christ for our sins. That's the love of God that we can think about. But the Bible says, if I love God and I hate my brother, I'm a liar and the truth is not in me. As we look at our life and how we live, can we say that Jesus would feel comfortable living with us? Does our life reveal God's word? If our wholehearted desire and longing is to be like Jesus and to do what he would do, then his will be made plain to us as we read his word. John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. True liberty is not the freedom to do what we want to, what we would in our flesh purposely to do, but the direction and the power to do what we ought to do. People probably leave from this congregation as they left from our congregation back home, because they have purposely chosen to do differently, walking away from the truth. They say they have more freedom. They have more freedom. Well, you know, the devil seems to give us freedom. We feel free when we are doing the wrong thing sometimes. John 8:32-36, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And the truth is inextinguishable. That means it can't be extinguished or put away or put out. You know, when you extinguish a fire, you put the fire out. The truth cannot be put out. The truth will always be. And such a life that is lived in the truth will shine like a city on a hill. We are challenged every day to give God glory and bring God glory through our life as we live out our life in the truth. Our lives automatically become radiant and leave its mark. We can't stop it unless we leave the truth. People, I've learned, I worked with men for 37 and a half years. Same men every day, some days long hours. And the men that I worked with knew me, my life, I believe, better than my family did. Because when you're working with men, you let out things that you would normally do. And so I think I told the story here already before. One man that I worked with was my worst enemy for 10 years, and then he became my best friend for 20 years. And I was privileged to baptize him into Jesus Christ before he passed away. Why? I don't know. I didn't talk to him much about salvation until he was interested. The truth will stand, and the truth will show in our life. Knowledge of the truth brings responsibility. The more we know of the truth, the more we are responsible for living it out. And that sounds pretty good. Some people say, well, if I don't know it, then I'm pretty free. Well, let me tell you tonight, you're just as responsible for knowing it as you are for living it. Ignorance is not an acceptable excuse. 2 Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do we see tonight the folly and rejection of the truth? What then should we do when we are confronted with the truth about our life? Do we get upset and close our minds to the truth, or do we allow the truth to cleanse us? That's the point that I'm getting tonight. The fact is that when we are challenged or confronted with disobeying the truth, what's our reaction? Are we anxious to make a change? Are we anxious to follow God? Or we still care about how I think? The Word of God, John 17:17, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Word of God is powerful. It will change our lives as we yield to its power and give up our own stubborn will. We should rejoice when we are shown to be wrong. Do not try to force the truth into your mold by justifying what you do, but let the truth be the mold by which we put our lives into. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Tonight, the truth prevails. The truth will always prevail. It's whether I allow the truth to prevail in my life. Tonight, we need to develop a love for the truth, a keen longing and a desire to be taught. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." We need to be like Daniel, a man who walked after God. He loved God. He wouldn't consider about going against God's word. We need to have that same fervent love for the truth. Stand upon the truth when you have found it, and don't be swayed by the opinions of man. Our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. "That ye henceforth be no children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up to him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ." Notice how Apostle Paul writes that. He says, "We henceforth be no more children." Paul puts himself right in there. And he's writing it to us. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. He's trying to, the scripture is for us tonight. We've been no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men. Tonight, we need to be concerned. We need to be concerned about the truth and following the truth the way God has designed for us. I'm thankful tonight that we're brethren, and I believe in the way that the brethren have always done over the years. But sorry to say, there has been a lot of changes in some brethren circles. But tonight, I hope that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, will follow the truth and carry out the things that God has designed for us to carry out as we go through the Love Feast occasion this weekend, especially. I have a copy of, I don't know how many of you remember INH Beam. Probably the younger generation don't, but the older generation should. INH Beam, he was quite a traveling preacher, and I have in my possession a sermon from 1941, I believe it was, that Love Feast sermon he preached at Hades Church. And in that sermon, he says about changing things, he said, somebody changed the love feast or the communion to in the morning. And he said, how do you have a supper in the morning? He said, the Pope changed that. And he said, that's okay. If the Pope changes that, as long as the Pope is equal to Jesus Christ. And I thought that was pretty good. He had a couple other things he said that the Pope changed, but and you see these things, they slide in. They slide in, and you, the older brethren here, as well as myself, we've been with the church for a good many years, and I've seen things just kind of slide. I didn't come from the conservative brethren church, but praise the Lord, I'm here tonight. And may the Lord bless you as you seek out the truth in your life and as we carry out the teachings of God's word in our local congregation.
We've been challenged this evening to make sure that we live by the truth. God's word is truth. And I'm thankful that we still have a congregation who practices the love feast and the simple teachings of God's word. We need to be faithful. The devil wants to deceive every one of us. And the older we get, the more temptations he throws at us. Let's remember that. We think sometimes our young people are tempted. They are tempted, but we, as older people, are tempted too. And in my short life, I have seen people who I looked up to were godly men and women. In their later years, they turned away from the truth. God pity us if we do not take God at his word. Let's stand together as we pray.